Welcome to the Spiritual Leadership Podcast with Pastor Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and founder and president of West Coast Baptist College.
Welcome to the Spiritual Leadership Podcast, and like many of you, I'm at home during this time of COVID-19, and we're praying for you, and I hope you're praying for us as we travel through this strange time together. We know that it's a God-ordained time. We know that He has a purpose. And yet, it stretches our leadership in so many different ways. And that's why I wanted to take a moment today and speak about the subject of efficiency management, because whenever there's a restriction in our economy, it's important for us as God's under-shepherds to wisely steward in the local New Testament church. And so today, as we look at efficiency management, there's going to be two guiding biblical principles. The first one is the biblical principle from 1 Corinthians 4 and 2 that tells us that it is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. And that requirement is primarily speaking of our faithfulness to the Bible and to expounding the Bible. But it also refers to the general blessings of God in our life, stewarding well. And then also Proverbs 27:23 commands us to know the state of the flock, to have a pulse on where people are, where process is going, and is there clarity in the midst of this storm. And so I would like to speak today on how to efficiently manage and share some thoughts with you. And I'm going to go rather quickly. I have a number of thoughts, I think 17 principles that I reflected on this morning that I'm asking the Lord to help me utilize. And I hope something said here will help you right at this particular moment as you navigate through these times that have come upon us. The first thing I want to say is trust God. He is trustworthy. He allows and ordains and leads. And we have the privilege of getting into a position of following Him and trusting Him. And there needs to be not a man-made confidence, but a God-given confidence in the heart of the leaders. And when the world is filled with fear, it's greatly needed that a church would stand up with courage. And so have faith in God and lead courageously. The second principle that is to guide us is that we must pray for wisdom. James 1:5, I pray it every morning. I've been praying it many times during this past few weeks. God, give me wisdom. How to convey truth, how to discern where we are, what's the forecast of where this is heading. And, you know, we live in a day when everyone wants to get on social media, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, and they're all experts. And there's lots of pastors out there who think that they're the expert in every realm of life. I certainly am not. I certainly don't claim to be. I've enjoyed just pausing in my life from reading a lot of those things because it actually can discourage the spirit. And the last thing we need right now are discouraging spirits out on the internet. So rather than act like you're the font of all wisdom, I think it's important that we all admit that we've never been here before and we need wisdom. And so let's pray for it. Thirdly, I want to encourage you to love people. And I know these are basic biblical principles. We'll get into some of the more managerial principles, but don't forget right now to love people and to express that love. I want you to know that as a fellow pastor, Christian worker, I love you and I'm on your side. And several pastors a day have just kind of texted me, hey, we're praying for you. And I've tried to do the same. Let's remember, you know, they talk about the Democrats and Republicans cooperating, and that's been questionable with respect to how hard it is for them to pass a few bills and such. But God's people ought to pray for one another. And I'm praying that a part of this whole process would be a spirit of repentance over some of the lack of prayer and love. So if anything, be sure to love your folks, the people that you serve with. Let them know that you're for them. All right, number four, I want to challenge you to know the data. Know the data. This is a time where you need to be somewhat caught up into the Freakonomics of the moment. You need to know how many widows does the church have and are they being called or visited? You need to know what kind of equipment you're running with live stream and how many people are visiting and watching services. Every church in this age should have online giving, and what percentage of your church is registered for online giving? And for those that just absolutely can't or don't use it, have they been instructed in how to give during this time? You need to know during this time numbers, and you need to not shy away from trying to understand, how many people are being visited during a week, how many people are being laid off, and keep track of those names, because they're going to be some of the ones we're already delivering groceries, but you're going to want to really minister to them in the aftermath of this shutting down of some of the largest state economies in our country. So know the data. Now, we live with a statistical sheet. We get it every Monday and Tuesday. We study the trends, but this is a new kind of data. We're talking live stream. We're talking shut-ins. We're talking about layoffs. It's a new kind of data, but know the data. That's very important in managing and leading well. And then number five, study the economics of the day. Now, they're a moving target. I grant you that. Wall Street's up and down. The bond markets have reflected this. The oil market has reflected it. There's so many numbers out there. You can get lost in it. But I think it's important as a pastor that I have a general concept of what's happening in the economy because it's going to affect our people. So I want to know where unemployment numbers are and consumer confidence. It's going to affect people. It's going to affect how I preach, how I minister. Someone's losing 30, 40% of their retirement over a 10-day period. I want to be comforting to them and also assuring that God's going to still provide. So study those aspects of what's happening. Read in the financial sections of the newspapers, Wall Street Journal, whatever you pick. But endeavor to know what's going on, not just right now. You can't just take one article and one clip of news. You have to try to get a sense of where this is heading long term. Then let me challenge you, number six, to know the peaks and valleys of your church's ministry historically. So go back and look at 2008 to 2010. How low was the low? How high was the high? How many people were on your staff at the low? What was the percentage dip of the offerings then? Some of you can go back farther than that. You pastor a church that's perhaps much older. But be familiar with peaks and highs and responses historically. And if you were not pastoring during that time, find someone who was and ask, how did you handle that constriction? What did you say to people during those times? Then number seven, let me encourage you to have good communication with your local leaders. If you haven't written a card or made a call or shot a text to your mayor or a couple of your council members, now's the time. You don't want to be that Lone Ranger Baptist that never intercedes, that never intervenes, that is never a word of encouragement. And I don't care who your mayor is. They can know that you're praying for them. They can know that you're available to help. I have the privilege, because of nearly 35 years in one city, of having a lot of good friendships and close friendships and with our city leadership. And in our mayor, I've talked with him every day since this started. We've prayed. This morning I went down and had prayer at his news conference. I think that we as pastors and leaders need to be involved in ministering to our leaders, but also knowing the data. I mean, we're having daily press briefings of how many people have the virus. We're having daily press briefings about how much emergency hospitalization is going to be needed and test kits, and it's involved. And we need to know so that we can pray and so that we can support. So be in that conversation. Number seven, seek counsel from financial experts. What's happening with our economy right now is unprecedented. It hasn't been this volatile since maybe World War II. And so I want to encourage you to talk to your CPA. We've had the privilege of participating in a teleconference with our CPA. Excellent material from them, Capon and Krause. We have also had opportunity to communicate with other financial experts that are a part of our church or other relationships. But find people that understand economics and understand the need of this particular hour and seek their counseling, what are the questions you want to ask? You want to ask them questions like, what will the impact of this be 6 months from now? What do they mean when they talk about the gross domestic product being down by 24%? How relevant is that? Why did Marriott lay off 150,000 employees? What are the sectors in your economy that dictate employment, and how will that affect? You're not running scared, but you're leading with knowledge, and you're seeking counsel about how to plan. Next, I want to encourage you, number 9, counsel with seasoned pastors. Talk to pastors about how to comfort the flock, about how to lead an organization. Ask questions that deal with perhaps ratios. What should the percentage of your monthly offerings be as it relates to the building payments of your church? How do you handle missions support during this time? We've never cut a missionary. There may be, though, if you look at your roster, some missionaries that are home, leading into retirement or off the field, or some that have a situation where they're an in-between moment or going back to a church staff. Sometimes there's conversations there that you can have as you steward. With respect to talking to seasoned pastors, besides how do I care for the flock, how do I steward the finances, you might just ask them to pray with you and to help you. And I've been so blessed. I mean, several older pastors, and I'm thankful for them. Dr. Sisk and I had such a beautiful conversation and prayer on the phone yesterday. And those kinds of conversations just minister to my heart. Number 10, I would encourage you with respect to efficiency management to hold on capital projects. Every budget has capital expenses. We had a major church management software expenditure ready to be put online in April. We're going to hold on that. We had an amazing event in June for Pastors Spiritual Leadership Roundtable. We'd already canceled our Asia conference. Thank the Lord we did. We're canceling the June conference. I don't know that the virus will be very prevalent then, but there's no way that I can prepare for a conference with my staff all in their homes sequestered and so forth. And so everything that would cost your ministry something financially, be willing to set it on hold. We are very much anticipating building a kids city building at our church. We've got a lot of things going forward towards that. And prior to that, we have a college office project. If and when the money comes in for a total cash project for the college building, I may do that. But everything right now is just we're going to hold our positions until we can get through the initial crisis phase. I'm confident there's going to be a 3 to 5, 6 month residual rebuild whenever the critical acute stage of this is over. But I want to be watchful in the meantime. So hold on your capital projects. I think it's very important. Number 11, you may choose at this time to liquidate some unused assets. It may be an old bus. It may be a piece of kitchen equipment. It may be some piece of property that was given somewhere. But if you're going to have a constricting time with offerings, if you're a smaller work or a larger work, there may be some things that you can do that you've thought about doing, but this would be the time to liquidate those assets. And then let me say number 12, let me encourage you, if you have a staff, to be very prayerful about this next step, but you may need to make some staff reduction. It's happening. This is something that's brought upon us nationally. Every corporation, many, many churches are having to take care of this. Now, sometimes if you're a church with 3 staff members and the secretary can, you know, help her husband out with something, and the assistant pastor's a good welder and he can do that and kind of help him as you can, it's simpler. Larger churches, it's much more complex. Our ministry has a couple of 100 full-time staff members, and these are tough times. So I'm saying again, I don't have all wisdom. I'm praying and seeking wisdom, but we're gonna make some decisions. The average church's budget is 40 to 60% personnel. And so when you're looking at a 20 to 30% reduction in the workforce and or in the economy or whatever, it's going to affect all parts of the budget. I would just say, and we haven't made any decisions as of this podcast, but I would say in this area, be kind, be loving, let everyone know that everyone's important. I'm facing situations right now. For example, we've been told we can't assemble, we cannot run our church buses, and there's not really an end known. They're talking about maybe a little bit of workplace replacement, but as far as worship and gathering, we don't know. I don't know how many weeks I can pay nursery personnel when I have no nurseries, bus personnel when I can run no buses, facilities personnel when there's no one in the dorms, classrooms, or auditoriums. So we've already done a little bit of short-term layoffs, and there may need to be some others. So how do you handle that? You handle it fairly. You handle it kindly. If you've got built-up sick pay or vacation pay, the first bill passed by the Senate allows staff to take sick pay if they've been told to sequester because of the COVID virus. You minister to your staff during this time. You let them know you love them. You look for those that maybe are closer to retirement or have other skill sets so that there's less impact on them. But of all things you want to do is go prayerfully and lovingly. I will say that if you're in a situation where there has to be some cuts made, it's probably even more helpful for someone to know that earlier than to just have this leaky faucet effect down the line. So pray for wisdom, and we'll talk some more about this in just a moment. Let me say this, number 13, remember the sacrifices that people make during this time. I've had staff who have said to me that, cut me this much, or I'll take some time off and work a secular job. Well, we haven't cut anyone yet. No one's doing a secular job. If we do make cuts, everyone will participate, myself included, and I'll work with our compensation committee on that. But the people that are expressing loyalty like that and wanting to be a part of the process, and they're hanging, even if they're put on some type of layoff, if they're there when this economy picks back up, and they're in the church and in the body, for me, those are the people you want to bring right back in. So remember the sacrifices made. Number 14, I don't know if this is helpful or not, but for some churches, this may be a helpful quick thought. I really believe most banks are going to work with us if it comes to the place where there needs to be deferred bank payments for like 6 months. They'll probably accrue some interest into that. You'll still obviously have to pay that debt. But I know of several instances already where people who own commercial property, their tenants have come and said, we need 6 months, and it's commonly granted. Normally, you need to, again, build a little historical data. You need to let a bank know, hey, here's what we're doing. We sold this. We're cutting this. We're doing what we can. But I think sometimes having that deferred payment would help smaller and larger churches again. Number 15, let me say this, communicate. Communicate love to your congregation. Communicate major decisions with your deacons. Communicate strategy with your staff. I've had to completely rewrite classifications and job descriptions for 12 pastoral staff. I mean, what do you do? There's no teens to get ready for an activity. There's no bus to ride. There's no children to teach. So we're doing a ton of stuff online. But communicate with your staff, with your deacons. Communicate with your students. If you have a Christian school, with your parents. We've had to turn our entire ministry, church, college, and school, on a dime to a video ministry in a 7-day period. It's taken a lot of communication. We're using a lot of teleconferencing. But I'm so thankful for people who are ready to hear. But they want to hear from us. They want to know where we're headed in all of this. So remember to communicate. Number 16, let me challenge you with this thought. Look to innovate. I'm seeing some great things from our good Baptist churches. I mean, guys are just doing some great things, whether it's enhancing their live stream, whether it's using email more and then video more and just staying in touch with people. But be innovative. Look for ways to do online evangelism. I just published a new track yesterday. It's not even printed yet, but we published it on the internet. It's called The Cure. It talks about COVID-19, how we're looking for the cure, gives some historical information. And then it talks about another sickness, a spiritual sickness in the human race from the federal head of the human race, Adam and Eve, which is sin, and how the blood of Jesus Christ is the cure for that sin. And you can go to lancasterbaptist.org and download that. What I love about it, you can email it to a friend just right there and get involved in evangelism during this time. And so I've seen pastors that are doing billboards in their cities. I've heard of pastors that have established food delivery services. We've been doing that as well. We have established a YouTube channel for kids. If you'd like to take a look at it, it's attached there at lbc.org, lancasterbaptist.org. Our youth pastor, Larry, my son, has done also a YouTube weekly meeting with the teens. They love it. He's doing senior class, Sunday school class on Sunday via live stream. So innovate. Look for ways to innovate. And there will be some great things come of this trial that are sustainable and usable in the years to come. And that leads me to the final thought here, that just spread the gospel during this time. We cannot necessarily go into someone's house and sit down right now. I get that. I can put a track on someone's door. I can send some of the gospel in an email. I can put together some Facebook outreach program. But don't feel like, well, we can't do evangelism. We can. And there's many ways. It may be radio or television. But look to spread the gospel. I believe this. The seed that we sow in these down times right now is going to bring a fruit. And I'm not going to be one of these pessimists that believes, well, this is the end. This is just another, downward slope for the church and this and that. It's a difficult time. I've never seen anything like it. But if we sow seeds in this valley, God's going to bring a great harvest. And so these are just a few thoughts. I could give others, but this is the time to be knowing the state of your flock. This is the time to be studying how to lead and to ask for wisdom. Let me give it to you real quickly in case you missed something you wanted. 17 points in 22 minutes. That's a record. Don't tell my folks that here at our church, but let me give them to you quickly. Trust God, pray for wisdom, love the people and assure them that God is good and God is for them. Know the data. Know how many are involved in online giving. Know how many are being visited. Know how many calls are being made by staff or deacons. Just know the data. And then study the economics. Know your budget, but beyond your local budget, know what's happening with budgets in the business world as well. And God can completely preserve a church and increase your offerings during this trial. But if you're in a situation where people are being laid off and the economy is slowing and it's going to take time, then know those economics and make the adjustments needed. Know the historic peaks and valleys. How has your church handled this in the past? Converse with local leaders. Get their insight with respect to what they're seeing on the horizon. And be a witness to your leaders during this time. Counsel with financial experts. Call your CPA or a CPA firm and just say, what are recommendations being made for nonprofits, for churches right now at this time? You'll get some good relationships, no doubt, during this time. Counsel with seasoned pastors. Get that good counsel. Be slow on capital projects. We have frozen every capital project for right now. I'd recommend you do that. Liquidate unused assets. If you make cuts or layoffs or furloughs on staff, do it lovingly, patiently, with explanation, be fair, be kind along the way. Everyone shares in that process. And then remember those that make sacrifices during this time. Number 14, defer bank payments if needed. Talk to your bank, give them your case, tell them what you're doing. Number 15, communicate with all of these decisions, with staff, with deacons, with church family, students, parents, communicate. And number 16, look to innovate. Innovate in your evangelism, innovate in food delivery, innovate with online education. And God will use this time to help you gain new insights into how to do ministry. And number 17, spread the gospel. Let's sow a lot of seed and let's ask God for a great harvest. Well, that's 24 minutes of some insight that I hope will be a blessing to you as we just really consider how to be efficient managers in this particular season. Let's pray for one another. Let's keep believing and trusting our Lord during this time. God bless. We'll look forward to sharing time with you next month on the Spiritual Leadership Podcast. May I say, if this is a help to you, would you spread the word a bit, push it out there on your social media, let others know that we're praying for them as well. Take care.